Hey everybody, this week we have Mike Furman on the podcast, and it is pretty awesome. We talk about Weird Al's Dare to be Stupid. It's a whole lot of fun. So, yeah, just listen in, and be sure to go to mikefurman.com. That's P-H-I-R-M-A-N. Follow him on Twitter, at Firm, P-H-I-R-M. And also make sure to check out his album, The Very Last Songs I Will Ever Record, Part 1. Yeah, this is just a great episode, and he was a lot of fun and very kind to give me some of his time just to talk about his love of Weird Al and getting to record with Weird Al. So that was great. Also, just quickly, be sure to listen to our other podcasts. If you just go to stolendress.com, you can listen to the Vice President's podcast, which is our podcast about the vice presidency. There's also Looking Forward, A Hope Moir, which is the audiobook of my campaign novella from a few years ago. It's satirical, not real. Then you can also check out Why Did I Buy This, which is Dan and Ari, who used to regularly be on the podcast until they moved to Boise. Yeah, they review their DVD collection. So yeah, listen to those and have fun. Thanks so much. Talk with your mouth full. Bite the hand that feeds you. Bite on more than you can chew. What can you do? Dare to be stupid. Take some wooden nickels. Look for Mr. Goodbar. Get your mojo working now. I'll show you how. You can dare to be stupid. You can turn the other cheek. You can just give up the ship.
You can eat a bunch of sushi, then forget to leave a tip.
Dare to be stupid. Come on and dare to be stupid. It's so easy to do.
Dare to be stupid.
We're all waiting for you. Let's go. It's time to make a mountain out of a molehill. So can I have a volley? Hey everybody, welcome to Comedy on Vinyl. This week, I have Mike Furman with me.
You do?
And we're talking about Weird Al's Dare to be Stupid.
Yes, we are.
Which is not the first Weird Al album I ever heard, so not that it's your first, but why'd you pick it?
Because I guess it's my favorite.
Yeah.
And it came out at a time, it hit me the right way. It's not my first album either. I got the just Weird Al Yankovic tape.
Yeah.
When I was, God, what year would that have been? I guess I'd be, 11 or 12 or something. Uh-huh. And I just played that tape forever. And then this one, though, like, just hit at the right time when I was a little bit older and a little bit more, like, already keyed in.
Sure.
And, so it's a perfect album. It's a great album.
It's wonderful. I mean, really great originals on it, too. I just absolutely love it.
And it's kind of in the, we were talking about you had asked me originally, what is an album that influences you?
Sure.
And this one, although I love the original Weird Al Yankovic because it's pretty much, mostly accordion, couple, tracks that have like a band going.
Yeah.
But it feels very accordion heavy. That this one has accordion on it, but it's definitely into the, these are songs that are made to sound like the song that's parodying, not just like a funny send up on accordion,
Yeah.
So for me, that's been a very influential thing, which is to, learn all styles of music so that you can spoof them.
Yeah. And that's just a ridiculous skill. And it just weirds me out too. I mean, I guess since he'd been training on an accordion since he was seven or something,
right.
How long have you been playing music? I mean, is it your whole life?
I guess so. I guess we always had a piano around, and my mom played piano, still plays a little bit, but she played a lot and played in the Hollywood Bowl at one point.
Really?
And, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and I always remember sitting down at the piano and just kind of noodling around.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought I taught myself how to play by ear until actually like a year ago. And I was talking about, I have a son who is two, and I was like, yeah, we sit at the piano. And she's like, I remember when I used to sit down at the piano and teach you how to play by ear. And I was like, wait a minute. I thought that was like my special power. I thought because the sun is yellow, I can play by ear. And she's like, no, I taught you how to do that. I'm like, damn it. So not only do I feel like, oh, well, okay. So I now have to somehow teach that to some, my son, I want him to be able to do that. So I don't know how to teach that. I had no idea. So,
holy cow.
But yeah, so I've been, noodling and figuring out songs, forever. And then I definitely have not mastered an instrument.
Uh-huh.
I can play, the way I describe it is I can play like, a lot of instruments poorly. You know what I mean? Like, I can play drums-ish. Uh-huh. I can play piano-ish. Mm-hmm. I can play, and I should say, I can play songs on a guitar. I can play songs on a piano. I can play, I can't just close my eyes and be like, how do you feel? I'll be like, let me tell you. Like, that's not going to happen. Yeah. Unless you just want to see, like, how do you feel? And I just start banging on it like the Muppet, the guy who gets angry. But I'd say altogether, I am all in one, a crappy band. You know what I mean? Like, I can altogether record a song. And with a computer, though, that bumps it up to the next level of like, oh, well, my computer is like my, he's like the second Beatle. You know what I mean? He's like the guy who can, like, he can freeze time. He can, like, you know, sift away all the bad takes.
Yeah.
So the computer is that's one of the names I've used on the Chris Hardwick's Nerdist BBC America show. With Matt Myra and Jonah Ray. If these get audio tagged somehow, if there's a computer that goes through and tags all these. But it was Mike Furman and the, let's be honest, my computer's doing most of its.
That's right.
Because that's awesome. Really, without that, it's going to be pretty sloppy. But anyway, so I can, you know, but that was, this is the kind of thing, this album, and I am pointing to, by the way, in your room, your vinyl copy of it, which I've never owned. I'm mesmerized by a vinyl and by that vinyl because it's a
the actual thing. You get a new appreciation for all the art on it.
Yeah, it's crazy. And this was probably done without Photoshop, I'm guessing, because since I don't think Photoshop was created. So this is probably just all clippings and
it has to have been
photocopied,
like, really wonderfully.
So cool.
Cut apart and pasted.
Yeah, but anyway, so this kind of idea of like, wow, that's all one. I mean, I know he's not playing all the instruments,
sure,
but just one band or one person, you know, or one project can just cover all these different styles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's there's definitely the Weird Al style, which I'd say, even though I know Dare to Be Stupid is the song is a style parody of Devo, it's still like that's where, oh, but he's got his voice in there.
Yeah.
Even though he can, you know, like if somebody asks me, oh, what kind of music do you play? I say, oh, it's comedy music. Like, that's cool. Like, what kind, like, is it rock? Is it, I'm like, well, that's the thing, is it's whatever the song calls for. Because if you're listening to the radio and you're flipping around, unless you listen to one station, and you just like, I just do, you know, parody.
Yeah.
Like, actually, I know Lonely Island doesn't do just hip hop, but they do a lot of, you know, hip hop stuff, and they're very, and because they're very, very, very good at it.
Sure.
But so I kind of feel like, though, my musical tastes kind of fly all over the place, so I constantly have to, like, I have to know how to make a country song. I got to know how to make a singer-songwriter song. Got to know how to make, you know, so it feels like that kind of like, oh, you can cover all those bases.
Yeah. Is it for you is it an active studying, or is it just sitting and listening and figuring it out that way and keeping it in your head?
I don't know. I kind of feel like they're both the same, actually. Like, I feel like when I think anytime I'm listening to it, I'm actively studying it.
Sure.
I don't think I rarely just sit and just enjoy it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Unless it's like I've heard it 50 times and then I can kind of relax. But usually I'm trying to go through and pick out what instrument's playing what and trying to catalog if I like something, even though there's no way I'll remember it.
Okay.
I'll just be like, oh, you can do that. Oh, that's neat. Oh, yeah, cool. Anyway, and then I'll totally, like, later when I'm sitting there, you know, I'll be like, hey, what can I do?
None
of that stuff comes back. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I should have logged that on something other than my brain. But it's usually flipping around and just, you know, hearing what you can do.
Right.
You know?
I guess it's the stuff that you keep, though, that becomes your style. I mean, the stuff that you remember that must really stick with you.
And I think, you know what, though? It really is the stuff, I think, in what you're saying. If I learn a song, that's usually the stuff that'll stick.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Like, if I sit down and, like, which is great about, you know, parodies and stuff like that, which I don't really do. But I love recreating songs just for the sake of doing it. In fact, actually, I would say I'm probably better at that than anything else.
Really?
Like, if you were like, here, can you cover, just make a parody of this song, like making the music for it. I feel like if I would have been born 10 years before, before karaoke, that's what I was meant to do.
Yeah.
I was meant to be a shut-in who just makes karaoke. Like, that would have been the perfect, like, I get money for this. This is totally easy. And actually, especially because those don't have to be that good.
Right.
So I could phone it in and nobody would care.
Do you have a favorite song off this album?
I think Dare to Be Stupid.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah. What do you love about
Even
it?
Even though,
so much?
What I love about it, it's Because it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just a crazy laundry list of just ridiculous, dumb things. And it just feels right.
How does he keep doing that, though? I mean, list songs seem to be his bread and butter.
I mean, if you think about it, with a comedy song, you kind of have to. I remember, you don't have to, but that's really, you know, who was I talking to? A guy named Eric Schwartz, who's a really funny... comedy musician, and there are two Eric Schwartzes. There's Smooth E, who's Eric Schwartz, and then a guy who's a singer songwriter guitar guy, Eric Schwartz. The latter is the guy I was talking to about this, and actually, that's not even true. We weren't talking about it. He was performing, and in one of his songs, he goes into the chorus, and the chorus was the same as a chorus earlier.
Uh-huh.
And he like starts singing it, and he kind of breaks and just goes, "Choruses are the worst thing for comedy music." Because we've already heard that joke.
Yeah,
so it's like telling a joke and then like turning around and telling that same joke in your set like 2 minutes later. And you're like,
How the hell do you do that?
Yeah. Or like TV where they're like, okay, we're going to do that take again. Audience, act like that's just as funny as the first time.
Exactly.
You're like, all right, well, there, maybe they can do it. But yeah, there's definitely, you just keep, you know, funny things coming though. And it's always, if the goal is to get the person to laugh. So Dare to Be Stupid is like, you know, maybe there's Dare to Be Stupid. Like, that's pretty much the thing that repeats. Otherwise, it's all ridiculous new things.
True. Yeah. Let me just real quick, because I'm not, like I said, I'm not, I know every one of these songs, but I'm just, the track listing itself is not.
Which, by the way, that also influences how I think, why comedy music has to kind of deviate from... it kind of has to get away from what would be the right thing musically, and like that will definitely make decisions for you as to like, oh, this should, I feel like this should go a little bit longer at the end. You're like, if there's no joke coming, you end it.
You pretty much
just end the song. Like, there's no reason to really keep getting going much longer, unless you're like, nah, but this is art. This isn't really comedy. You're like, all right, well then.
I'm trying to think here. The
not that comedy's not art.
Ugh. Oh shit!
One of these days I'll stop second guessing myself. I shouldn't have said that.
Somehow I made it through. I'm just an intern, I still make a mistake or two. I was last in my class, barely passed at the institute. Now I'm trying to avoid, a malpractice suit. Hey, like a surgeon, cutting for the very first time, like a surgeon, organ transplants are my line. Better give me all your gauze, nurse, this patient's fading fast. Complications have set in, don't know how long he'll last.
Actually, you know, listen, one of my favorite things that you guys did is Hard and Firm. For those who don't know, there's no way you don't know if you're listening to this, but Mike Furman and Chris Hardwick are both known as Hard and Firm occasionally. But you did the Trace Elements song, which is oddly one of my favorite things ever.
Oh, cool.
I don't know why it's so ridiculous, but like, what did you, I mean, did you bother to listen to a lot of Trace Adkins, or did you just knew, I know country, let's do this?
No, that was actually... Brian Posehn heard, I'm trying to think of what song it was, of Trace Adkins's. He basically said, told Chris, I just heard the most ridiculous song, and if you, there's no way you can make fun of it. It's the most self-satirizing, ridiculous song. There's no way to goof on it. And so Chris, I'm pretty sure this is, Chris said, well, what we can do is just make it genius stuff, because it's such a, like, you know, it's a laundry list of, like, you know, the most basic redneck stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just do a laundry list of the most high end, like highbrow, you know, like argon lasers and stuff like that. And then it just, the two together don't match, and it's funny.
That's pretty brilliant.
I hope. But yeah,
I love it.
Thanks, man.
Freaking great.
Yeah, it's a fun one. And the video was very fun to make. That was when I was doing a lot of visual effects stuff.
Yeah. You did some of the... You cut it too?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You do a little bit of everything.
A little bit.
Yeah, that's... Oh my God.
I'm a crappy production company. I can do a lot of things. No. Yeah, that was really fun.
Actually,
I should say, I think yes. Neil Mahoney, I believe, actually edited the video, and mm-hmm. I did the visual effects.
Oh, you did all stuff. The visuals. Okay. Yeah.
And a little photoshopping, like stickers and whatever goofy little things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't want to say, like, yep, I did it. Screw off, Neil. I don't know what your listening base is. I was about to say the F word, but I don't know where you're at.
You can swear up a storm.
But you know what? In honor of Weird Al's album, I will not
you
swear.
You will not swear.
I will say screw off.
That's reasonable. Listening, the man, like, I don't know if he ever swears, because I've listened to him on so many podcasts. Like, you know, he keeps it clean.
I don't think so. I think
It's just so weird to me to listen to a guy like this talk, because he gets, not on this one as much, but he can get dark.
Yeah.
He can get pretty dark.
Oh, sure.
But he's like, nah, I'm just generally a happy guy. And I'm
right.
Like, how? Yeah. How the hell?
Yeah. That's actually another thing that, like, that has been a big influence has been the idea of not, I love Louis C.K. and I love Patton and I love filthy comedy. I love it. I was telling, on our email back and forth, I was saying, well, I love Dare to Be Stupid. Like we could also talk about Sam Kinison,
sure.
Or Dice, or like ones that, like, when I was coming up, I, like, you know, had an Andrew Dice Clay shirt and wore mm-hmm. it all the time. But you know, but this is like, but man, I would love to be able to just somehow not do that. And then partially, one, because it would be nice to appeal to everybody,
sure,
like family, and be able to, you know, like, not worry about that at all. But most of that actually comes from when, you know, up until a couple of years back. Relatively recently, my grandma mm-hmm. Was alive, mm-hmm. I just didn't want to somehow disappoint her.
Sure.
Somebody, I didn't want to be dirty and have her hear it somehow. So I just got used to, like, I mean, that said, by the way, Hard and Firm is filthy. Like,
yeah.
We have the most disgusting, filthy, awful. She never heard any of it. Mm-hmm. I don't think. But I've made a very conscious, you know, I have partitioned my career into that stuff is filthy.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But I just, and I have some of my own personal stuff that's like, I also love that dark stuff.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, try to avoid, you know, anything that can't be played. And especially now, I'm
sure.
trying to go for, like, I'm recording a kid's album, which
awesome.
Will be, you know, which also, this stuff is totally kid-friendly.
Sure. Yeah,
so
yeah.
There's no reason to, like, you don't, it's all, it's smart,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you know, it's clever, and it's, you know, satirical and all that, but it's, like, you know, a 13-year-old or a 10-year-old is still going to find
of
it funny.
Of course, yeah. I mean, there's, I think the worst this gets is, and I can't believe I never noticed it till I was listening to, again, another podcast where they were talking about, which one is it? Hold on. One More Minute.
Mm-hmm.
Where he talks about the self-service pump.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. That's, yeah. That's like,
it's brilliant.
Brilliantly filthy. Not filthy at all, but if you are old enough to understand what it means,
it's
perfect.
Yeah.
As a kid, you're like, oh, okay. More music, please.
Yeah. Stuck at a gas station. Too bad.
Yeah, right.
Like, I guess that's funny. I don't see why they think it's...
Yeah.
I guess when I drive, I'll find it funnier.
Soon
as
so
I can. Yeah. Something about gas pumps. Maybe there's some little button that he's referring to.
And it's the same thing with, like, music, because, like, I didn't grow up listening to a lot of popular music. I mean, that's a lie. Okay, but not as much as other people, because there was a period of my life where I was in Europe, so, like, we were getting stuff late.
Cool.
So, like, I think if you listen... Weird Al exposed me to a lot of music that I might not have otherwise listened to. I mean, did you ever have that experience, or were you generally listening to a lot of Top 40 radio?
No, I think I listened to a fair amount of Top 40, but actually, I think he was... more instrumental in, like, I didn't really know the Kinks,
uh-huh.
and I knew, like, you know, Come Dancing and, like, the radio hits, but I didn't know them as, you know, like Devo. I feel like I know Devo from Whip It, but I didn't know, like, it took me a while to, like, oh, that's not just his thing, that's a style thing, and that's there, oh, and that, you know, I like Devo because of that.
Yeah.
So, but I do feel like... there's and he still does this now where he keeps up on everything. Like I'm introduced to modern contemporary music through his last
same
album.
Thing. Yeah.
Like I was, oh, what? Oh, that's, oh, okay. Like
mm-hmm.
I feel like I've heard that song. And so he, I don't know how he does that. Cause I feel like that's a little bit of work to, like, listen to Top 40 for me is like, I'd rather not listen to Top 40
right.
all the time.
Right.
But I feel like, yeah, but that's good to do though. You know, like
mm-hmm.
I feel like he, you know, like that's the, well, he's taking his career seriously. I probably should too. You know,
and
if you're going to be like a comedian and be like joking off of things that are relevant,
mm-hmm.
that stuff's out there.
It's so hard though. I can't. And also, like, to do it, to know the right song to do that's not going to necessarily be overdone.
Right.
Now with the oversaturation on YouTube.
Well,
that he's got to compete with those people.
Right. He was saying, like, if I had lunch with him one time and he was saying that that, yeah, if this had been the internet and he just Googled, you know, Michael Jackson, eat it, or whatever, there'd probably already be, like, 10 people doing it.
Of course.
And he'd be like, oh, well, I guess I'm not going to do that.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know?
God, jeez.
Because, like, that got you the, what's that, what's that one? The... Didn't have me not.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah, one. Yeah.
There are already, like, five or six parodies online.
I know.
And they're pretty good, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But that seems like the perfect one, like, that. His next album
that's
would have
exactly
that on it.
I've
and maybe it will.
Too.
I don't know.
That's
but,
what I've been thinking.
Yeah.
Do you know what the parodies are generally centering around? Because I honestly, this is the first one I've had an idea for in a long time.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I had one, too. I had an idea for one.
Yeah.
There's one that's like, now you're just some... was it? Now you're just some... study that I used to know.
Okay.
It's like, all right. It was like, it's about a class that the guy took. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Pretty well done.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was... I don't remember the other one, darn it. But I thought, now you're just some bunny. Like, it was going to be like a kid. Because I have... My son has this little, like, stuffed animal that he loves. This little bear. And, or monkey. And and so I thought, oh, well, that would be the story of the, like, you know, it's almost like a Toy Story. Like,
okay,
when he leaves it behind
brilliant.
And now he looks back. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I remember we used to.
But, I love it. Yeah. That's good. That's way better than my idea.
What was yours? Not necessarily. If you're...
No, it's way better because there's more of a story to it because I like to intentionally stretch it.
Yeah.
Like,
But that would almost make a funnier story if yours is so specific.
No, it's really bad. It's about mowing your lawn.
What's wrong with that?
Now you're just somebody's lawn I used to mow? It's not funny, because my brain likes to stretch things out.
Well, there's
the
an extra syllable.
Awful.
We gotta deal with
that's
that.
That's the problem. Yeah. Yeah. That's, it's horrible. Like I said, it's a really bad idea. I shouldn't. I'm just gonna cut that part. I'm just gonna
No,
that.
You're not.
I'm gonna
no
bleep
way.
It. But, yeah. Yeah, we can move on.
No, but that I used to mow is still... That's. There's nothing wrong with
it
that.
It technically works.
Yes,
but
it
like
works
bunny
great.
Better.
It can
I
be
like
very
bunny
funny.
Better. And I hope you make that song.
How about a rabbit that grows hair far too fast, and it's a guy who used to have to mow?
That, see, all right, good. Thank you for stretching it further than I did. It's making me feel better.
Yeah, see, now that's a truly terrible idea. You can't relate to it. There are a million flaws. In my head, I've already got the whole, I'm like on comment 30.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what a jerk. This guy sucks. Yep. So let's...
Yeah. Oh, God. When you first listened to Weird Al, was it just listening, or did you at some like was there a point where you listened to a Weird Al album and you're like, this is something I really want to do?
That's a good question. I think I just loved his. I think first off, I probably just loved his voice because
mm-hmm.
he has a just
amazing,
just funny voice.
Yeah.
Like, and it's such a great, you know, and he you know, it, I envy that very much. Comedians who have just, they're just easy to listen to,
yeah.
and they're just funny. You can pretty much say anything, and
mm-hmm.
they're just going to sound funny. People, like, I would put Dave Chappelle in that.
Yeah.
His voice
yeah.
is just an amazing comedy voice.
Mm-hmm.
I think a guy, Henry Phillips, if you ever listen to Henry Phillips.
I don't know.
He's got a funny voice, and yeah. Not, I don't mean that in a bad way, Henry. I mean, like, when you want to, you have that option. Whereas, and that's one, yeah, I think I was most interested, like, ha, it just sounds funny. And then
yeah.
everything he's saying, I'm like, whoa, that's really clever. And
yeah.
like, what? And like, I didn't understand, I mean, obviously the hand farts thing when I was, you know, 11 or 12. He's tooting into the mic. But then like on like this album, you know, like, you know, Yoda or,
mm-hmm.
or George, actually, I still, to be honest, I honestly could not figure out what was the joke behind George the Jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait, did he do the original song?
Right.
And did that, I got my times mixed up.
Sure.
I never knew until about a day ago, knowing
uh-huh.
that this was going to be, you know, like yesterday we wrote back and forth and,
yeah.
And decided on this album. And so I went onto Wikipedia to look
mm-hmm.
up, like, what is the deal with George the Jungle? Like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I should know if we're going to come on here and talk about it.
Yeah.
And it was just a cover.
Yeah.
Just, he just covered the song from the album, from the TV show, which was, you know, well before.
Right.
But so that kind of thing where I'm like, that's just awesome.
Yeah.
Like, who would just...
And beautifully done. Again,
oh, yeah,
exactly
that's what I mean. I'm like, that
earlier.
Sounds like...
Recreating that, just note for note.
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody does that.
But I don't know why anybody does
yeah,
that. Like,
right,
there was
right.
already that theme song. Like, it's just such a cool, like, I just want to do that song. It's
mm-hmm.
so goofy and, you know. And then I guess they used it in the movie, like, the
yes,
later
they
movie.
Did. Yeah, they did. I think, like, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the one with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you found a brand new lover. You decided that I'm not your kind. So I pulled your name out of my Rolodex. And I told
You found somebody new. 'Cause I'd rather spend eternity eating shards of broken glass than spend one more minute with you.
God, and it's so good. Well, he's got these weird eclectic interests in, like, even in what's the movie, The Mask. You know how he sings Cuban Pete at some point.
Oh, right.
Weird Al had something to do with the production of that song.
Oh, really?
Either Jim Carrey's version or... Because I bought some shitty singles in the 90s. And, I'm sorry, some crappy singles in the 90s. And one of them
there
was
were a lot.
Pete
it
from
not...
The Mask.
Okay.
And he produced the whole single. He might have produced the whole soundtrack. I don't know.
Interesting.
But, yeah. But, again, he's just weird, eclectic. I it's weird when I see his name on stuff. That
there's
I
a... Yeah, there's a there's one thing I've never heard that I'm dying to get my hands on someday is he did. Do you know the going through the zoo? So it's a Sansen. Did he do Peter and the Wolf?
He also did Peter and the Wolf.
Okay,
yes, yes.
So he did. Weird Al did a send up of, or I guess a straight up parody of. Of the zoo, of going
yes.
through and
yes,
hearing,
yes, yes.
and like, but he goes through and like talks to like the janitor or whatever. Mm-hmm. I've only heard of it,
yeah,
but I don't know where and how anybody like. Honestly, I probably haven't gotten as if I had it as like a Google alert or something
yeah.
like that. Maybe
yeah,
it would
yeah.
somebody put it on eBay and I can grab it. But
it's
like
called the Carnival of Animals, right? Is that what it's called?
I think so.
I want to say,
which is by the way, check. In itself, a really it's not funny. But it's an awesome way to, like, Peter and the Wolf, too. Like, it's a really cool study. And I think a lot of those are made for kids
mm-hmm.
to, like, oh, here, let's introduce. In fact, it's even in, I just saw Moonrise Kingdom. And I think they're listening to a breakdown, whether it's, it might be Sansen. But anyway, but a breaking down of, like, here's this person's theme. And when you hear this, that's that person.
Yeah.
And then here's how he makes, you know, the elephants are slow because he takes a fast thing but has it played by cellos.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's
yeah.
going to feel, or has it played by basses, so you get a feeling of, you know, weight.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm dying to hear that by him. But that's one of those things that, like, it's not out there.
No.
It's just, like, this kind of weird thing that he did on the side, I guess. And I think it's with Wendy Carlos, who did the Tron soundtrack.
Really? Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty fascinating.
Whether or not Wendy was at that time Walter, I don't know.
All right.
Yeah.
Give me one second.
Also did the music for Clockwork Orange.
Really?
The little,
Jesus.
Yeah, the Moogie versions of, also did Sweatshop Bach, which is his main thing, her main thing at the time. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Let me think. Oh, God, so you've had lunch with Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
Sorry, that blows my friggin' mind.
Blew
man.
My friggin' mind. It I still
bet.
Blows my friggin' mind.
I bet.
He did a song on my album. He's the,
really?
I have a song that's called Street Meat. Parentheses, why you taunting me?
Uh-huh.
And it's about a guy who is, you know, told by his doctor he has to eat more healthily.
Uh-huh.
And so he's walking through New York and he's just constantly, you know, harassed by the smell and look of street meat.
Uh-huh.
And at one point I asked Al at a show, I said, hey, would you have any interest in being the, you know, there's really nobody else on, I wanted to make this album, like, pretty much,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just, you know, a bunch of songs that I, did most everything on.
Mm-hmm.
But I would, of course, if you would do this, you know, like, I would love to have you be, like, the featured, you know, singer on it. And he said, sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
so, and he's
God.
Amazing. Like, he came over, he's the voice of the street meat. And I wasn't allowed to put, I couldn't, contractually, we couldn't put featuring Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he's got, it's a record company Mm-mm. thing that he, I mean, he's with the same, they've been doing his records for, like, I guess he has like a 12 album deal or something like that. 13 album deal. So I couldn't put it on there. I can just put like in the special thanks, like special thanks to Weird Al Yankovic. He's
oh
the guy,
God.
You know, but I actually, and I didn't do this, but I really wanted to, because I feel like this might be, I don't want to get him in trouble, but
uh-huh.
I almost put on every other song not featuring Weird Al and then leave that one blank. So they could be, hey, because it's true. Those ones are not featuring Weird Al.
Amazing.
And this one,
that's totally in the spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, my. You know, it's funny. It's like, because you were talking earlier about, you know, and you do play down your musicianship, and that's fine. But you're obviously good.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. if he's, when he talks about playing, like, the accordion, he's like, you know, I've got elementary school, like, not elementary school, but a very low level of accordion playing ability. So, like, I think it takes a... I've talked about with a couple different people. Katie Levine on, actually, a couple weeks ago, who produces all the Nerdist podcasts, and she's talking about how she likes to produce comedy. I think having that skill to be able to pull in all these different people and different skills and pull them into one thing to make, like, in your case, like, a really good song, it feels like that's... Like, you know, the whole jack-of-all-trades thing must pay off.
It does and it doesn't.
Yeah.
It is... it's I'm finding that it is, it's good-ish, but I think if you are a young music comedy enthusiast and you are finding that you are recording all your own things and producing your own records, maybe consider finding somebody that you like to play or somebody that could record your things for you. I am finding that the actual producing of everything is getting to be more of a hassle than,
really?
And because it takes you away from writing and it takes you away from getting good at your instrument. You know, it could be like several or one or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up, I don't know, the jack of all trades thing is, it is nice in the way of like, hey, if you want to change something, you know how to change it, go for it.
Yeah.
But it is also a big pain to like stop and debug your Pro Tools you know, like, I hate that. It's
just such
a bummer to, like, you know, I and then you end up also, if you get good at that, that's great, but is that really what you want to be good at? I mean, like, if you could do it so that you're good at it and transparent, and it's just like, I'm good at that, and I can just work on the music and stuff, and that's just no problem. But that is a lot of work still to, like, if you're going to, like, I you know, mix my own stuff, and I, you know, that stuff takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's kind of like, there's another of the band names on the Nerdist. I made one that was, you know, Mike Furman and the, I didn't read the part in Chris's book where he says, don't be a one man band, band, right? Because he has a section in his book, The Nerdist Way, where he says, you know, like, you know, you might want to be good at doing what you just said a minute ago, and that is finding people that are good. And and that's one of those things that, like, in every book on how to succeed, they're always like, that so-and-so succeeds because he's good at surrounding himself with experts and surrounding himself with successful people. And stuff. Which is, that makes a lot of sense, because then you're, like, you're you know, you're always in the middle of a great team as opposed to... you're working very, very, very hard, and in the end, you get a thing that you've done... But it takes a lot of effort, and you know, I don't know. I feel like now I'm about to repeat myself, but yeah, it's just that part. I'm like, it's really tiring, and it is fun, but it's really tiring.
Yeah.
So,
is there something? Actually, I was going to ask about as far as his originals, like, because he's got a few originals that don't seem to necessarily be. I mean, they're style parodies in a way, but do you have like a favorite original of his of all time? Because I like talking about those. The parodies are easy, but
right. Hardware Store, I love. That's not on this album, but that's
so
that was, I think, the first thing, not the first thing I ever said to him, but it was backstage at a concert, and it was like the very, very first time I ever met him was. At Oingo Boingo's farewell concert, at it was a Halloween show, and he was back there just hanging out, and you know, as you do, and I was just told, like, I don't know how I got back there. I don't remember who I was with or whatever, my sister maybe or something, but my sister's very good at getting backstage at things, and I was ha 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 ha, you know, and just went over and like, excuse me, sir, you know, like, I would you sign this? And I had nothing to sign but my, like, driver's license. So he signed the back of my driver's license. I was like, can you sign? And I just said, like, you're basically like my father. Like, I grew up, I listened to you more than anything else in the world. And he's like, I'm sorry. I was like, that's brilliant. Oh my God, that's brilliant. I gotta go. You know, I ran away or whatever. But then, so years go by, and then, met him backstage at another show where I think we got there because it was me and Chris and somebody else who maybe Hal Sparks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we go backstage and he's there. And again, it's like I have like 2 seconds to say whatever I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. And like a complete, here it comes, shithead. I'm going to drop that like a total shithead. I like, hey, how's it going? He's like, hey. I'm like, hey, man, missed Hardware Store tonight, man. I wish you would have played that. And he's like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I didn't. Or like, he's nice about it, but I was like, oh my God, did I just go out there and like criticize his concert? Like, the first thing I say is like, hey, man, you really love the show. I wish you would have played Hardware Store. Yeah, so you made a mistake in my eyes. You totally blew it. I wish there was more. You could have done better. Anyway, you know, like, I hope he didn't, you know. I'm sure he was kind of like, okay, well, whatever. Yeah,
right.
You know. But yeah, that I love that song. It's an amazing song.
I eat filet mignon 7 times a day. My bathtub's filled with Perrier. What can I say? This is a lie. I buy a dozen cars when I'm in the mood. I hire somebody to chew my food. I'm an uppity mobile dude. This is a lie. They say that money corrupts you, but I can't really tell. I got the whole world at my feet, and I think it's pretty swell. I got women lined up outside my door. They've been waiting there since the week before. Who could ask for more? This is a life.
And then probably, but overall, I love the, as Slime Creatures from Outer Space is fading out, I always love that if you have to crank your volume all the way up.
Oh, yeah. Because
it fades out really, really, really quietly. There's a little way in the background, you hear a little, who are you going to call? Slime Creatures!
Like, really?
It's a Ghostbuster driving. This is 1985.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And it's so hidden in there, and I love that. But... I've heard it so many times that yeah. One More Minute now is like the national anthem to me. Like, I have very little emotion reaction now other than to just be like, well, it's the most important song in the world. You know,
yeah,
so
yeah,
I guess
yeah.
I guess it's probably One More Minute. But Dare to Be Stupid and One More Minute are probably, you know, it's hard to say now because, like I said, it's like you're, you know, it's like where you grew up. You're like, it's a good house. How was that house? I think it was good. I mean, it's a, I don't know. It's you know, so it raised me. But yeah, I think One More Minute. If you hadn't heard any songs, yeah. I would probably say listen to One More Minute and Dare to Be Stupid.
Yeah,
and I know they're both style parodies, but sure. They're I don't know. I mean,
do you okay? So for One More Minute, do yeah. you know, like, because I'm so shit at like nailing who he's style parodying half the time. Obviously Devo, and I
right.
only know that like from when I was younger. Somebody said it was a Devo. Apparently, like, oh right. really? Because I didn't really listen to a lot of Devo.
Right,
but do you know specifically for One More Minute?
I think it's just a doo-wop.
Just doo-wop?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't
all
think
right.
it's...
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, which, I mean, and I, you know, I have songs that are... I think it's... If you're doing comedy like that, mm-hmm. unless you have, like I said, like, you know, I'm the hip-hop guy, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Which is great, because then you have your voice and you're done.
Yes.
But I love, you know, like, I have a song that is a, you know, like, 20s or 30s style, This Is the Life
mm-hmm.
is a yeah. perfect old, you know, like Chicago sounding, you know, 20s, 30s thing. But I feel like it's hard and I'd almost say it's hard not to do style parodies.
Yeah.
Because there's just, with comedy music, you want to come from a place of recognition-ish,
sure.
you know, I mean,
sure.
like you could just do like, crazy fax machine buzzing and blips and just start saying weird words, which actually would probably be really funny now that I think about it. I might go home and do that if I didn't have to produce it myself. Sounds like such a pain in the ass. But no, by the way, I say it's tiring. It's still fun. I don't want to sound, like, I don't want to sound like a jerk and be like, you know, like, it's not even worth it anymore. It's just that's the like, oh, it'd be so nice to just kind of like, I'm really good at writing and I do that every day and I go in and somebody records me.
Yeah,
they're
really
good at that and this guy's really good at mixing. In the end, we have a product.
Right.
But that's not what happens. Anyway. I'm right back to that again, aren't I? Son of a... Why did I make these choices? Oh, I hate myself. I hate them. No. But the... Yeah, so, like, I have a 20s-sounding piano little, you know, jig-sounding thing. But I think, yeah, so I think it's a style parody in that doo-wop was a style. But I think if you're a music comedian, you probably have one idea for or could come up with one idea for every type of music, you know. What I mean, like Adam Sandler has his piece of shit car, which is the reggae song. I mean, it didn't have to be, you know, but there are, you know, x amount of music choices, and unless you lock in on one, you're probably gonna want to, like, you know, what would be my ska song, what would be my, you know, like, you know,
I feel like it's harder. Well, I don't know if it's harder or easier for somebody like maybe like Stephen Lynch, who does mostly just straight up guitar singing. He doesn't do a lot of style changes.
Right, right. You know? It's true. That's like he's got his voice, and that's actually kind of where I say what's so great about Al is that he can do both, and it's really like I'm trying not to sound too fanboyish and whatever, because it's also when you've met someone, you don't want to be too like, but he knows. He obviously knows that anybody doing, you know, comedy music is going to be like, you're a legend. There's no doubt. Like, everybody's going to be at least a little like, you know, but it's like, or you're the godfather, you know, like everybody, like, you can sit and have, you know, we can have a little, you know, a snifter of cognac, but still I'm going to be a little intimidated at any point. You could snap your fingers and I could be murdered. You know what I mean? Like, you're the godfather. So anyway,
Weird Al has had a lot of men murdered.
Yeah, he has, and I don't like to talk about that because I've had to do a lot of killing. But that was a joke. that was a joke. I'm gonna need some more of this.
Okay.
But the fact that he can do both of that, like I'm trying not to sound too much like I idolize him, but I idolize him. Yeah. And but he can do both style parodies and do it in a specific his voice kind of way, because he has both his physical voice and his style and sense of humor. Whereas, like you said, you know, like Stephen Lynch has his voice, and that's, you know, the great, cool. And then like someone like me that does, you know, I like style parodies and stuff like that, but they're not a consistent thing. Like, that song has nothing to do with this other song over here. Like, I always say, get my album if you like the song Chicken Monkey Duck. Get this album and hear nothing else like it.
Right.
You will, you know, like, there's nowhere else to get a song like that until I find, you know, you find something else that sounds like it, because I didn't do any more like that one. So that's, I do envy that. Like, I feel like I am constantly, like, I have no idea what my voice is, period. Like, I don't, like, it's kind of a, like, you know, no, it's kind of a, like, it's so exhausting. I hate music.
We do have to.
I hate comedy. No, I don't. But there is that, like, you know, I definitely envy people that have their voice figured out, because I definitely don't. I'm always like, if there's just a song that's like, I want to do a song that's about, you know, a thing, you know, like I have a joke idea, and it's not it's a send up of that dude. It's just a, you know, I'd like to sing a song about, whatever topic. There is a huge, like, hurdle of, like, okay, what do I sound like? Because my singing voice, I think, is terrible. I don't think if I just start singing, it's just gonna be like, you don't need to do that. That sounds like it suddenly we're in karaoke world. They're like, you know, geez, me, can you do an instrumental version of that and make it funny? You know, so I can do a lot of harmonies, and a lot of times I end up doing that. I'll just be like, oh, you know what? I do love doing harmonies, so I'll just record like three of me. The end. You know, and like, but you know, whether that's all, we're all hiding behind each other, and it's just like a little scramble, and like, it feels very Marx Brothery, and like they're all three trying to hide behind each other the whole time. But that is probably musically what I'm doing. But anyway, I love the idea of he can definitely just do any kind of style choice.
Sure.
And use his voice, and it's still a Weird Al song.
Right, right. His actual singing voice is awkward and strange and unusual. I mean, I know he can make it sound pretty beautiful on occasion.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, I'm pretty sure, has the synth it once in a while to get, you know, obviously reach some pitches. You know, like, I know when he did Bohemian Rhapsody, he had, did he not synth this himself for?
I don't know.
You know, I just wonder, there's, because he reaches some friggin', like, you
right,
know.
Right, 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 right.
There's
I'm
notes
sure.
in there that are impossible.
But he's, no, but he, I mean, I, you know what? I can't, I'm not even sure.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I feel like there are definitely some times when I'll hear, like, you know, and only because I've used, you know, Auto-Tune and Melodyne, that mm-hmm. there are times when I'm like, oh, that sounds like it might have been. Like, Hardware Store, I've heard without the, I've heard just the instrumentals.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are times when it feels like, wow, that's perfect. You
yeah,
know, like,
yeah.
create, and, but at the same time, when he came over to record, he was down for recording. We, you know, I don't know how many takes we did, but we did a lot of takes. And not
yeah.
because they were bad and, like, need another one, but he just, he's really like, let's get it perfect,
yeah.
and then let's do a few more just because it's fun,
that's
and then do more, and then, like, so I'm not at all, I don't think he relies on that at all, I wouldn't think.
Yeah.
I think, you know, but that said, and I'm somebody that uses, I'll use Auto-Tune,
sure.
and I'll use, you know, Melodyne and stuff, and, you know, there's...
Just what you do.
Yeah, exactly. Like, again, I'm not, like, I'm not trying to please, like, audiophiles, and I'm not trying to, like, you're not listening to me because you're listening to, like, you love good singing. That's for sure. If you are, I apologize, because I'm not claiming to be a good singer.
I'm told, and I don't know if it's true, that he likes to do it in one take, and, like, he likes to just do it through, you know, without having it chopped to pieces. Is that, do you know?
Like, I don't
like,
know
instance,
from that.
Like,
I don't know.
What was the recent?
He might.
Oh, God, what was it? White and Nerdy. Supposedly he did... He's there. He did it in one take.
Nice.
Like, not necessarily on the first take. But
right, but he doesn't like to do. And that's, I love that, because I am kind of a victim of the you have so many options and everything's possible.
Yeah.
So I end up doing that, like chopping up things and just recording that one line,
mm-hmm.
you know, 20 times, and then pick the best one of that,
sure.
and to record that line 20. And I think it's way better to do what you're saying and record the whole way through. I don't know if he. I would guess, you know, he could have.
Yeah.
Physically could have. It makes sense because it's, you know, you definitely get more energy that way. And you get a, you know, it's probably more fun for the, in fact, I'll just say, it's more fun. I'm not even going to qualify it with, I'm not going to give myself an out. It is more fun to record the whole song at once. I don't know.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah. I won't do it, but it's more fun.
Right.
Yeah.
I want a new duck, one that won't try to bite, one that won't chew a hole in my socks, one that won't quack all night. I want a new duck, one with big web feet, one that knows how to wash my car and keep his room real neat. One that won't raid the icebox, one that'll stay in shape, one that's never gonna try to migrate or escape. Up with duct tape. I want a new duck, a mallard I think, one that won't make a mess of my house, I'll build a nest in the bathroom sink. I want a new duck, one that won't steal my beer, one that won't stick his bill in my mail, one that knows the duck stops here.
Did you ever, I normally ask this earlier, but we've had plenty to talk about. Did you ever make friends over comedy? Like bonding over a specific artist or a specific, you know, like a...
With Chris.
A sketch, yeah.
For sure. Oh, yeah, definitely. Chris and I became friends from just like, you know, quoting Ghostbusters back and forth with each other.
Yeah.
And just like, oh, yeah, I think the, especially when it's something like this that right now, you know, nerd stuff is very popular. So
sure.
you can be like... You know, you could be in line Subway and be like, I love nerdy things. What about you? Somebody be like, totally, dude. I'm into nerd stuff. Yeah, me too. You know, you like it. But there was a day, and I think that day still actually exists, where you can't be like, hey, man, I like microcomputers. I got one in my pocket. Me too. We're both nerds. The end. You know, like, no, we all do. They're called cell phones, and this is not... If you had a microcomputer in your pocket in the 80s, that's different.
Yeah.
And there are things, you know, like, if you said to somebody in line, you know, like, hey, dude, I have a... My computer has Linux. What about yours? Then you're probably going to find whether that person is an actual nerd or not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think when you're, you know, in a... subgroup like that, like
mm-hmm.
if somebody liked Weird Al, even though, you know, these, you know, I think this album, I don't know if this is true or not, but I think it got to number 50 on the Billboard charts. I looked it up on Wikipedia before the show. this is a very popular album, and it got to platinum, and, you know, so that's popular. But it's not, you know, it's a parody of Madonna, not Madonna.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, so there is, like, a subgroup of people like, oh, dude, you like Weird Al too? Me too! You know, so, yeah, mm-hmm. So that, I definitely think, the more specific your tastes are, the more you're going to bond over it. And, yeah,
sure.
I've... At the same time, if somebody doesn't like Weird Al, then they can Weird Off. There you go. If they don't like him, then I've made my choice.
Yeah. No, that's
good
that's,
day, sir.
I made my friends my best friend over Weird Al and Cheech and Chong. So that's why I kind of ask everybody, because some people have, some people haven't. Sometimes yeah. It's just a thing where they just sit in their own room and listen to comedy.
Right. Which there's a Cheech and Chong thing I have not been able to find for a long time, which is the. Where they're in a classroom and the like speaking Latin and oh, fill me bonnie belly and the dominoes.
Yeah. Do
you know what I'm talking about?
I think that's in Sister Mary Elephant, if I remember.
That's
correctly.
It. Yeah. That is it.
Yes. Yeah.
I gotta hear that.
Do I have? I know I have it because we've done that album recently.
God, it's been a while. It's been so long since I heard that.
But I mean, we didn't do the album that originated on. Like, we had like a fucking a greatest hits album or whatever. So yeah. We would sit in our car and listen, or in a busted out old car and pretend we were Pedro and the Man going through the drive thru.
Yeah. And smoke fake cigarettes.
Exactly.
Eat candy cigarettes.
Half the time we didn't even know like what pot references they were making. So we'd never smoke pot. We're just right. Like, yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But
to listen to Cheech and Chong and not know pot references is pretty ambitious.
Yeah. No, it really is. Like, you're like, what's a lid? I don't know. It sounds funny.
That's
right. It's okay. Just do the voice. Yeah. Okay.
These guys sure love grass. They really do. Like, they're really into. And then if they really like grass, they could do a song that I used to mow. God.
I won't live that down.
There's got to be a way. I'm going to find a way to make that fit.
Because at one point, all right, see, I don't want to harp on it, but she does say, "What's the girl comes in and sings, no, what does she say? I don't know.
Oh.
I had a line for her, too. Oh, something, she said, screwed me over,
right.
And I said, use my mower. That's where it
use
was.
My mower, okay.
You know, so that's, I was like, those two things could potentially, it's a really horrible idea.
Then there's something on my side. See, so like, just write down all your line references.
Oh man, that's amazing. Yeah. I wanted actually for years is to see somebody do a tribute album. Well, first of all, do a tribute album to Weird Al. Why hasn't that happened?
I think it has.
Has
I
it?
Think yeah. Somebody approached me about one a while back, and I cannot remember. I'm very sorry if you're listening to this and you're the dude that approached me about it. I could not do it, but a couple people did put together one, and I don't remember. I don't know how high profile it got.
I'm just wondering how they did it though. Are you covering his parodies, or are you covering his originals? Like, that's what I'm
oh, do like a parody of his and make them serious.
That was another thing that I was thinking too, because I did parody one of his songs. I did do Melanie and turn it into parody because I thought I'd write it about him writing. I just make it as recursive as possible,
right?
Just
use right it.
But I had wondered like if they did it, if it was all his originals, or if anybody ever tried to, like, I always thought it'd be funny to parody his songs, like, but try and do it well. It's not possible to do it really brilliantly, but
well, I mean, do a parody of his parody?
Yeah.
Then you're just parodying
parody
the original,
of his originals.
Right? Oh, parody of his originals.
Yes.
Right.
You know,
I'm sure somebody has.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
By now they must have.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
I did, by the way, on my computer here. The only reason I turned it on is I found the only two tracks I've ever found online, because you can't find any of from Carnival of the Animals, but
really?
I don't have the full thing. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's really strange. It's very odd.
Yeah, that's great. And is it's with, like, Moog and all that?
Yeah, I think so.
God,
yeah.
That's got to be good. Can we, after,
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
want
to. After this, we can listen to it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll see. I might even have the full thing. So I don't know if I do, but it's, like, even back in the days when I thought it was okay to steal MP3s, I was, you know, we were just trying to find every Weird Al, like, rare Weird Al thing, because I think we had all his albums anyway, but,
yeah,
that was one of the things that was, like, precious to us.
Nice.
I'm trying to think. The, did you, let's see. What do you? Is it on that one? Is Sister Mary Elephant on that one? On Big Bamboo?
Yes.
Maybe it is. It's on this one?
Yeah. The
sorry.
One with the rolling
papers. My fiance brought in Big Bamboo.
It comes with rolling papers?
Yeah, a giant one.
Oh my god!
Huge one.
That's awesome.
It must be on here then. Because I'm used to. Let's see. Whatever. It's not gonna tell me. We can listen to it.
No.
If. Really, Kat? Honestly. Hey, everybody. That's a cat jumping onto the thing and getting hair all over the fucking place.
Real professional.
Real fucking professional. I've got Radio Shack equipment. They don't expect much from me.
Shh, don't say that.
I mean, that's
Radio Shack's slogan. Shh, don't say that. Hey, guys, come over and listen to my Radio Shack show. Shh, don't say that.
Radio Shack, our logo's really easy to paint over.
That's right.
That's awesome. What was I going to ask you?
Thank you, Radio Shack, for all the things I've bought over the years.
Seriously. if you're going to tell somebody, well, first of all, actually, no, this is what I was going to say. For your own child, has your own child listened to Weird Al yet?
Yes.
I mean, yeah?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Is it something where just the sounds are pleasant?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell what things he gets into. He just kind of like, he'll lock in on very random songs. Like, trying to think of what, I don't think he's locked in on any of Weird Al yet.
Okay.
He's locked in on palms. He's locked in on ones that I've made a lot of them because I'll be listening to him a lot and he'll come in and he'll hear it, you know, 7 times.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So there's a Graham Elwood song called Palm Strike Dance Party.
Yes.
That he has listened to a billion times. yeah. And he listens to the Beach Boys. But,
awesome.
Yeah. But I definitely play it for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
actually, when Al came over to record, this was like one of those moments where I'm like, oh my God, Al's coming over here to record in my studio, in my microphone. They were going to record a song. I'm doing a song. This is crazy. This is going to be a great day. And it was a great day. Yeah. But it didn't start off like that because he comes at the door. I've got my son Milo is there, and he's in a little jumperoo, little bouncy thing. Al comes in, sees a little kid over there. Al, being Al, hey, runs over and like, gets like right up in his face. He's like, hey, buddy. And my son just freaks out. Because here's a guy just like, hey, you know. And I was like, oh, God, no, dude, no. That's Al. You can't be sad to see Al. Don't do this.
You can't. This would then frighten your baby.
He actually, like, from my son's point of view, he got to experience the cover of Dare to Be Stupid live. And he was not ready for it. He did not know it was about to happen. And he has not developed his sense of humor yet.
Oh my God.
But
the nicest, most well-meaning man on the planet.
We recovered. I recovered. Al was probably like, oh, I'm sorry. that's okay. He's just, he's wrong. Kid is wrong.
He's just like,
he's not mine.
All he was saying is that's like the time Mike told me I should have played Hardware Star. It's like, it's okay.
It's oh, you're just like your dad. Let's get this over with.
If you're going to tell somebody why to listen to this album, what would you be your reason? If somebody's never listened to Weird Al even, you're like, this is the album to listen to.
I think, not that all of them don't, but this one has, to me, probably, I want to say the most range. That could be debated, I'm sure, for years. Mm-hmm. But I think it has the most range of for me, like, just weird stuff. Although, now I look back on it, it feels very 80s. It feels like a lot of stuff is very, like, oh, no, that's pretty consistently 80s. That one's consistently 80s. But in my head, this is the most, like, wow, look at all those places you can go.
Yeah.
So, I guess I'd have to include listen to this one for brilliant writing and also a very kind of silly 80s feel.
For sure.
Yeah. But I would just say, because it's funny.
And honestly, I don't think, I mean, okay, to be fair, there is a song called Cable TV and a song called Girls Just Want to Have Lunch, but outside of those two,
which
it's not as much food and TV as the other.
No,
albums,
right. And
fair.
I also, when I was looking at the Wikipedia thing, the article on what's the deal with George the Jungle, it said on there, and whether he, I didn't get this from him, so I could be, this is a podcast where I just say things that I've heard. Like, yay, this is the rumor mill. Welcome to the echo chamber. I think I'm Mike Furman. I've heard that I'm going to, but I heard it said on there that sources say, like, now it's Fox News.
Uh-huh.
Well, a lot of people are saying that that he was not so into Girls Want to Have Lunch.
Yeah,
and that he did not include it on the first of his greatest hits or whatever, you know, like that he was not so crazy about them. I don't know that.
No.
I have not asked him that. He has not said anything about that I know of. But anyway,
I've heard him talk about regretting Gotta Boogie. He's like, it's just
really,
He's like, it's just a little too juvenile for me. He's like, you know, but he doesn't seem to have too many insane regrets. But that's interesting.
Like, he's also had like how many, like 150 songs. So you're allowed to have like one or two.
I think so.
I have like 8 songs and like 4 of them I'm not crazy about. You know, so that's not true. That's One or two.
You have 9 songs.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm. Oh, and then 5 of them I'm crazy about. You added one more that I'm not crazy about. Thanks, dude.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just ruined your life. No. I apologize.
I'll get back. I'll recover.
Let's make sure that people know where to find you online. Mm. Let's play.
I live at 33... Oh!
No,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You can go to mikeferman.com. That is just how it doesn't sound. Mm-hmm. MikePhirman.com. And then that's got a link to my album, which, or you could just go to music.mikeferman.com. Or you can go to iTunes, type in Mike Ferman. Or you can go to... All right. That's it.
Do you have a Twitter?
I do. @firm. Phirm.
Phirm.
Yes.
All right, then. What? Okay, wait. No, but what's the name of your album? I don't think we even covered that yet.
It is called The Very Last Songs I Will Ever Record, Part 1.
That's an amazing name.
Thank you.
That's a very good name.
Thanks, dude.
And you're right now you're working on a kid's album, though.
I am working on a kid's
album.
That's
awesome.
That is right now. I'm not sure if I'm going to stick with this, but it is at the moment. Or maybe should I not say it? Is that,
you don't have to.
Because it might be a while.
Okay.
So I don't want to say it.
Hold off. Will it have some bunny I used to know on it? Because it should.
I don't know. We'll see if... see, I almost feel like with parody, I almost feel like I would feel terrible if Al is planning on doing that song, and then if on his next album that's on there, I'd be like, what am I doing? Why did I put a parody on mine? That's his realm. I can't... So, I would probably not put that on. I will just stick to my own.
I am a complete professional on my phone. Just went off in the middle of my own podcast.
Nobody would have known it until you said that.
Well, I just want to be honest with the people, Mike, and, you know, and... I'm sorry. Well, everybody, thank you so much.
Are we done?
We're done. We're done. Mike, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, of course, man. I'm so sorry. I thank you for keeping on because for the last couple, this has been a few months of, turns out when you have 2 kids, your time is ruined. It's a productivity catastrophe. So I thank you for being patient with me and getting in here.
It's no problem at all. It was awesome having you here. So thanks, everybody, man. Thanks for listening and have a good thing.
Comedy on Vinyl is recorded at Fort Awesome Studios in beautiful downtown Burbank, California. Our producer is Mike Warden, our host is Jason Klom, and he's also the editor. Comedy on Vinyl is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. You can check out all of our other podcasts, books, videos, other audio stuff, probably some writing, at stolendress.com. And please check out Comedy on Vinyl at facebook.com/comedyonvinyl, twitter.com/comedyonvinyl. And please subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us highly, and spread the word. You get me on my knees. Please, baby, please. She looks so great every time I see her face. She put me in a state. Ooh! State of shock. Looking for love. They come a-running just as fast as they can. Every
großen Schluffballons. Im Umreck vom Horizont, im Mond, sein Ufers aus dem Mai.